You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network. Visit jabberjawmedia.com for more shows like this one.
Hello and welcome to episode 74 of the Manage Mental Podcast, a weekly discussion on hot topics in the music biz for the up-and-comers, the brand newbies, the beginners, and aspiring rock stars of tomorrow. This podcast is propelled by your input and feedback, so please rate and review and leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this show. We would like to give a big thanks to Scott Fugger for our newest 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts. I am your host, Mr. Blasco, and as always, I am joined by my good friend, the co-host from the other coast, Mr. Mike Mowry.
Hell yeah, my brother. Are you in Europe? Is that what I gather?
Hi, I'm in Bologna, Italy. We visited the Pavarotti Museum and restaurant yesterday.
I saw a post. It looked pretty cool. I got to ask, though, how did you get his hands to wrap around you, one around you and one around Zach?
It was movie magic, my friend.
I don't know if you're a soccer fan or football to all of our international listeners, but the World Cup is going on. And so in my past travels and touring, it was always exciting to be in Europe when either the Euro Championships or the World Cup was happening. So hopefully you get to take a game in or two.
I'm sure what happens is that it starts to spill out into the streets from all the pubs and whatnot. So, you know, you can just be walking to try and find, you know, dinner, and they, like, there's all these, you know, big screen TVs in the middle of the sidewalk, and the party's just spilling out into the street. So it's pretty exciting, actually.
I was going to say, that's awesome. And it's too bad Italy isn't in it this year, because I'm sure that would be a good time for you. So anyways, enough with soccer. Let's get on to business, my friend.
In the last episode, we chatted about steps to music business success. That was a really great episode, so check it out if you haven't already. Today's episode is sponsored by our buddies at rockabilia.com. Go check them out for the awesomest collection of officially licensed band merch on the planet. Use our code PCJabberjaw and get 15% off your entire order.
By the time this episode airs, I will have already gone to California for the start of the Warped Tour. But, you know, that the Warped Tour always makes me think about merchandise. You know, it's such an important thing for our artists who are on it. You know, they're focusing on as many designs as they can, you know, sling. And, you know, that's really the way that most of them make ends meet, or at least make some profit. So, you know, if you aren't able to make it to one of the Warped Tour dates, and you're looking for some great merch from the bands that are out there, head over to Rockabilia, use the code PCJabberjaw, tell them Blasco and Mike sent you, and look as fresh as you can for the summer, my friends.
This week, we talk about how to reverse engineer a music career. This is going to be killer, so let's get mental.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mike, you know, we've had a consistent theme going, and we're really trying to explore ways to succeed in the music business. Somehow I stumbled upon the idea of reverse engineering. And I found this article by this guy named Mark Hayward on lateralaction.com, which is a website I've never heard of before. It seems entrepreneurial, whatever. And this isn't necessarily a music article, but I've adapted it. And I figure this is kind of more of a discussion than it is really much of an article. But reverse engineering is an interesting topic for me. And when I say engineering, I don't mean, building, you know, laying plans to build skyscrapers. I'm talking about seeing something successful, taking it and analyzing it and reversing how it got to be successful, and then taking those steps and applying it to your band or your business, right? That's what I mean by reverse engineering.
Yeah, this is super cool. I mean, when you sent it over and I looked at it, I was like, man, I don't think I've ever actually, you know, consciously done that. But then as I read through the article, I'm like, of course, I'm doing this all the time. You know, you and I are looking at the creative ways that people are, you know, marketing their artists in the digital age and trying to figure out if we can apply it to, you know, the artists that we work with. So I think it's going to be a really cool one. Nice find.
Yeah. So the article starts off like this. Everyone has dreams and goals, but some folks lack a method and vision for success, while others are just plain afraid to pursue their potentially life-changing ideas because they are terrified of failure. In technical terms, reverse engineering can be defined in the following manner. The process of discovering the principles of a system through analysis of its structure, function, and operation. It often involves taking something apart and analyzing its workings in detail. That was a mouthful. To begin forward momentum, I apply my own interpretation of reverse engineering to my goals, whereby I analyze and take apart precisely what it is I hope to accomplish. And in this case, we are talking about being successful in music. More specifically, I attempt to build a framework for success by breaking down in reverse order the steps and tasks that will be required to effectively achieve my ambition. So before we get into the four keys of reverse engineering, I was kind of thinking we could talk about maybe some specifics, like some bands, right? To where you go, look at the success of this band. Let's, by means of broad strokes, kind of analyze, how, you know, reverse engineer how they got to be there, right? So if I'm going to throw something out there, I'm going to throw out Ghost as an example, mainly because in our genre, they're probably one of the most currently successful bands that has climbed the ladder of success on each record and got to the point to where probably by this time next year, they'll be headlining all these festivals as opposed to just direct supporting, right? So my thought is, once again, broad strokes, but my thought of reverse engineering, it's like when I look at something like that, and keep in mind that I'm a huge fan. So like I by no means am trying to marginalize their success in any way by simplifying it. But I think that there's something to be said about a really cool name and a really cool logo that then adheres to more or less a mission statement of everything tying in together, meaning there is probably a lot of people that have a Ghost shirt or bought a Ghost shirt long before they ever heard the band just because they thought the merch was so cool. And how many times have we seen that happen?
Yeah, I was up in Boston last week and driving, you know, through the city and saw some just totally random guy in a Ghost shirt. So I think you are, you know, correct in that analysis. I think what's interesting to me is, you know, I want to just make sure that we make it clear that we're not talking about like comparing ourselves to, you know, to other bands or comparing ourselves to somebody else's success. We're really looking at, you know, is there something that they did that can be not exactly copied, but I guess, what would the word be? I guess, you know, borrowed or implemented to see if you could take something and get it towards that same level.
Yeah. You know, so anyway, let's break it down. He's got four keys to reverse engineering. So let's just take them one at a time. The four keys to reverse engineering for success are: number one, determine the most basic level of the goal.
Yeah, and that can be challenging, you know, because I think I've gone through some of these exercises, you know, with myself, my company, and some of the artists that I work with. And even when you think you've got it down to a basic level, it typically isn't the most basic level. So I don't know if I've got a great example of it, but I do think that this is a great a great key, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it to me, it's like you want to start off at the big goal. So if I'm going to give an example, whenever I wanted to start a management company, that's the goal, right? The goal is I want to start a management company. Now, that's totally a legitimate goal, right? It's very broad and it's very big. So at the point to you go like, oh, I want to start a management company, then you have to then go in reverse, right, to determine the most basic level to get to the point to where your grand goal is to call yourself a manager and have a management company and pass someone a business card that says, I'm so-and-so and here's my management company. You know what I mean? Or I have clients, or I'm looking for clients. So I think the same thing is to be said for a band or a musician, right? I want to play in a band. That's a goal. Now work in reverse. I'm in a band and I want my band to be successful. It'd be helpful to define what level of success that is so that you can work in reverse. But I think even with this podcast, right? Like whenever you break down the basic first steps, you and I go like, hey, we want a podcast. That's great. We know that we can do that. Now, what's the first step? And how do we break down that how do we reverse engineer a podcast, right? I mean, which is what we did. I mean, if you think about us starting, we didn't necessarily have a defined end game other than we wanted a podcast, and we had a bunch of ideas and we did a bunch of demos and we really analyzed it to where we fine-tuned it and we took some pieces from Entrepreneur on Fire. We took some pieces from the $100 MBA. You know, we kind of borrowed here and there from different aspects of other podcasts that work, crafted it into our own, and demoed it till we felt comfortable with it. But we did all that in reverse. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And really, if you think about the very most basic thing about us starting the podcast, it was, let's start recording the conversations that we're kind of having anyways. I mean, they were a little bit more specific to industry things, what's going on with certain bands, labels, agents, you name it. But really, the most simple thing was, we're already talking on the phone once a week. Why don't we start recording it? And, you know, and then it was, okay, how do we give that some format so we're not just wandering, you know, each and every week with no real purpose?
Yeah. And also too, I feel like, you know, everyone has a different starting point. So whenever you're determining the most basic level of a goal, like for instance, if you already have a band, but you want to put out a video per se, right? Like, oh, we want to release a music video. That's the grand goal. Now you have to work in reverse to the initial steps of what is it going to take to make a music video, right? First of all, you got to know what song you're gonna make the video for. How much budget do you have? Who's gonna direct it? Right. There's a lot of small steps that you need to define to help, you know, get to that goal. So, you know, whenever you break that down, the idea of the grand goal can sometimes be daunting. But whenever you break that grand goal down into a bunch of little steps, like step number one, what song are we going to make this video for? That's an easy box to check. Or maybe it isn't. You know what I mean? If you've got a band guys that are like, you know, arguing over what song they think is the best. But that's a smaller goal that's easy to accomplish once everybody agrees on it. And then you go to the next step. Great. What's our budget? And then everyone agree, you know, and then you just kind of take it step by step. But once again, you're reverse engineering the grand goal. And a lot of ways, like you and I took bits and pieces from other podcasts we like, I feel like you can look at the same way. You can look at it the same way of like, what did this band do? How did this band make this video on this budget? And looking and borrowing and being inspired by other things to help you build your reverse engineer plan is totally acceptable, just as long as the end game isn't just so derivative. You know, you want to kind of put your own flavor into the mix.
Well, and that it's realistic. But when you were talking about the video, when I think about it, the Outer Loop coaching course that we created, Release It Right, was done through this exact same process. My partner over there, I would, you know, he would always ask, how did you do that? How did you get that band on the charts? And I just sort of said, oh, we did this, 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 and this. And he just kind of walked it backwards and put it in a really easy, digestible workbook that, you know, so many of our students have been able to use. So I think that's, you know, a really good example that you brought up there.
Yeah. Number two, ensure that you are committed.
Man, that is so spot on, but so tough to like really ensure that, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, but it's so real. I mean, Mike, I can't tell you, like, it really does come down to that. And it really is amazing whenever, like, you see people just tag out so early on. Like, I've always been committed to being involved in music and playing in music. And whenever I had my first band, and we were so young whenever we were in the band, right? And so by the time that we had put out three records and done a bunch of tours and stuff in 1988, that was whenever we all had graduated high school. And at the moment that whenever we graduated high school, everyone's goals were different, except for mine. I was the only dude that was like, I'm gonna keep chasing this rock and roll dream. Like, and one guy went off and got married, another guy went to college, another guy like moved away and started working for the phone company. Nothing is wrong with any of those goals, wanting to, you know, build a family and be a, you know, be a college professor and all these goals that you want to do in life. Oh, this playing in a band was that thing that I did whenever I was a kid, you know. Nothing wrong with that, but I was committed to playing music and being in music, and here I am 30 some plus years later, and I'm still in it. And granted, I had some ups and downs along the way, but I was committed to making music and being in music, and I'm still here. The other dudes aren't.
Absolutely. And I see it with the artists that I work with. You know, it does get hard. After two albums, you're not maybe where you thought you might be or where you wanted to be. And, you know, that typically if you started a band when you were in your, you know, early 20s, after, you know, 4 years on two albums, you're starting to hit your mid to late 20s. And yeah, you've got to make those kind of decisions in your lives. But you're right. The ones that I've seen that do end up, you know, being successful are the ones that basically said, oh, well, I've got to do this, you know, at any cost. And that's really, I don't know. Do you think you find that commitment along the way? I feel like you've sort of said that you had it from the get-go. But I'm curious, I don't know if I necessarily had it from the start or whether it just kind of kept reinforcing itself and eventually, you know, kind of I knew that I was committed.
I feel like if you're seeing progress, that could reinvigorate your level of enthusiasm and maintain your commitment. You know, if you're committed to something and you're seeing progress and you're getting results, then that obviously will spark continued commitment. But it's really about being committed in the times when you're not seeing progress. You know, to me, that's where you see the big results, is whenever you keep that commitment in the times whenever you think you should just bail because you have no clue what the fuck you're doing.
Totally. been there tons of times, but you're right. You push through and you realize that, you know, even though you were headed uphill, there's a downhill waiting for you just around the corner.
Yeah. And look, I mean, once again, even just, you know, referencing this podcast, it's like, man, this is episode 74. We've maintained a pretty significant, consistent commitment to this podcast and ourselves and our listeners, and we're still here, you know, and you know, we're cruising up on a year and a half now. And to me, that's pretty significant. Anybody will tell you, you know, anything that you read on, you know, in the podcast business, it's like nothing happens overnight. You know, you're not going to be a Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, overnight. Like, you gotta have an idea and you gotta be committed to it. Like, you know, let me take a side note, you know, growing up in LA, you know, in the 80s and 90s, LA was such a mecca for bands getting swiped up by record labels. So many people were coming from all over the world to LA to get in a band and try and get signed and be successful and all that, right? And like, and a lot of bands did, right? I mean, it was the story of whoever, Guns N' Roses or whatever. Axl gets off the bus from Indiana and, you know, gets in this band and, you know, here we are, you know, multi arenas and stadiums later, right? But so many people in that era I would run into, and they would have moved to LA and they were giving themselves 1 year. And that's what they'd say, like, well, I'm here for 1 year. I'm going to see how it goes. And, you know, if nothing happens, I'm just going to go back or whatever. Now that's, to me, that's not showing to me that you're committed. Trying to go like, oh, I'm just here for 1 year. Like, you're half-assing it if you're only giving yourself 1 year, unless you're dedicating 50 hours a day, you know, 365 days a year to maximize the best that you can, you know? And that, I've never seen that happen.
I don't think there are 50 hours in a day.
No, but you got to make them, you got to find them, you know,
love it.
You got to find
absolutely
them. Number three, identify as many steps as possible that are required to reach the goal.
Yeah, I think this is super helpful because just like you said earlier, you know, when you look at the big goals of, oh, I want to have a management company, you've got to break it down into those smaller steps. But even the smaller goals can be broken down even further. And I think that's like a really, really effective exercise. So you just know what thing you've got to do on any given day to make sure you're still climbing up the hill.
Yeah, you know, I feel like the more little steps there are, that could, and the more that you can check those boxes along the way towards your big goal, the more enthusiastic you're going to feel about being committed to the project, because you're going to feel like you're accomplishing something. Right. Whenever, like, the smaller the detail of all the goals are that you're accomplishing, it's going to propel you. You know, once again, it's like, you know, you want to be successful. You want your band to be successful. I get it. Look at successful bands. What did they do? You know, what are current bands doing in this new digital age? How are these guys becoming successful? Right? Was if some guy just put his song up on SoundCloud and all of a sudden woke up one day famous, how did that happen? There has to be a reason, you know? And the good thing is that information is out there, right? You just got to Google it up. You know, it's a lot of people are willing to talk about their successes and how they got there. You know, there's multitudes of podcasts and blogs, like, all on the subject. So you want to know how something got done, the information is out there. You just got to go looking for it, and you have to apply it to what it is that you want to do, you know?
And I always try to look at the rule as opposed to the exception, you know, and oftentimes bands will come in. You're talking about Ghost at the top of the episode. And I'd say they're kind of the exception, right? They've got such a unique, cool thing that it almost would be impossible to repeat. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be impossible, but the chances of it, you know, somebody reversing that and then doing it and achieving that exact same thing is much less likely than, you know, looking at some of the other artists who might not have, you know, the whole Pope Singer thing, you know, or whatever makes, you know, Ghost so unique. It's really hard to go and mimic that specific thing, as opposed to looking at other artists who, you know, if you're just a band that's five regular-ish dudes, you know, try to look at how, you know, a common one in the world I work in is always Avenged Sevenfold, right? They were a more of a metalcore band you know, that was playing small clubs on Hopeless Records that now plays arenas as well. And so, you know, oftentimes we're looking at them, you know, when I've got artists who tell me they want to try to achieve the arena level, and we're trying to figure out, is it possible to go do what they did? Or was there something that was so unique that it's really only going to be, you know, a lightning in a bottle?
Yeah. And look, the final key to reverse engineering success is take action.
Yeah. I mean, this is one that you talk about all the time. I think we did an entire episode on this. It's like, just get started. You're going to fumble along the way, and that's okay. If you've got a plan, you know, if you've determined the most basic level of the goal, you're insured yourself and your bandmates that you're committed, and you've identified the rest of those steps, you just got to start. You got to take that first step and watch as the dominoes fall. It does get kind of exciting to, you know, to watch it all speed up and know that you're going to hit the very last one, which is inevitably your goal.
Yeah. I mean, taking action, you know, this is the most important thing, and understanding that failure along the way is okay. And that it's going to happen. Let me just tell you that there will be some failures and some hiccups and some trips along the way. It's just what's going to happen, but it's how you deal with those and how you utilize them, to work towards the bigger goal along the way. Not every plan is going to be perfect, but you need to understand that you're going to have to kind of go with the flow, and you're going to have to improvise, and you're going to have to be flexible. And whenever the path takes a turn, you got to roll with it, as opposed to let it frustrate you or you know, make something that frustrates you to the point to where you quit or you give up or, you know, what have you. It's like, you gotta do this very thing. Understand the big goal, put it in reverse, break down micro steps and attack those steps one at a time with the end goal always in sight. And if you have to make a couple of turns along the way, it's to be accepted, and hiccups are to be accepted, and failures to be accepted, but always in the context of what that end goal is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think all of us, you know, that have gotten anywhere have failed. Most of us more than once. Some of us, you know, more than two handfuls. And it allows us to learn. You know, that's really where we become our best, is when we've had to take something and say, why didn't that work? Why did I fail? What can I change? I was listening to a great podcast this weekend called And the Writer Is, and they interviewed John Feldman, you know, the songwriter and producer. And he was talking about his failures and how, you know, he was in a metal band that didn't go anywhere. He ended up selling shoes, I think, down in Santa Monica, and, you know, through that job met someone, and then his career, you know, just kind of, you know, snowballed from there. But he was so just, you know, he just kept mentioning, like, if I hadn't failed at the first band and I hadn't had to sell shoes to make ends meet, I may have never met this person, and my career, you know, I might still be selling shoes or doing something different. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes, but I just thought it was really, he words it much more eloquently than I have.
Well, cool. I mean, look, you know, my summary here is that, you know, the information is out there. Reverse engineer is a topic that I wanted to get into and just kind of touch on a little bit, in that, like, don't let the grand goal get in the way of the steps that it's going to take to get there. And don't get frustrated, and don't compare. How come this band has what I don't have and I want what they have? Well, look at what they have, analyze what they have, and put your mind to it. I think, and I through this episode, I've used this podcast as an example, but I think it's a really good one, in that Mike and I have a podcast now, and we're on episode 74, but there was a time whenever the idea of doing a podcast was just an idea. That, like, oh, we should do a podcast. And then, you know, but we took steps to get to the point to where here we are now at episode 74, right? I mean, if that's equivalent to songs, we put out like 6 records already, you know? And so it's like, it's like you just got to understand that it's about taking the proper small micro steps to end up to get to the grand goal, but keep the blinders on and keep focused on what that goal is, and don't be distracted by what other people are doing. You know, focus on it. Take, you know, that you're even listening to this podcast is a step in the right direction because you're trying to learn more. And there's so much out there. But really, number 4, take action. That's where this all happens, right? It's very simple for me to say, focus on the grand goal, take the steps, start knocking off the steps one by one. But you can only do that whenever you take action.
You said it perfectly, my friend.
Yes. Well, that concludes episode 74. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back here next week. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Blasco1313. We encourage you to email us any questions or comments you may have for the podcast to me directly at askblasco@gmail.com. If you have listened this far, much respect to you for making efforts to educate yourselves and taking your future into your own hands. Mike, what you got?
Follow me on socials, Twitter and Instagram at Mike O'Loop. And I mentioned it earlier in this podcast, but I do have a coaching platform, and we have a product called Release It Right, which really does give you the step-by-step things to think about as you're going to release, whether it's an album, an EP, a song, a video, you name it. So head on over there if you're interested in taking your career any further. And last but not least, head over to rockabilia.com for all of the finest merchandise on the planet. PC Jabberjaw is the code for 15% off, and tell them Blasco and Mike sent you.
Nice. Peace. Thanks, everybody.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series.
About how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app.
And subscribe now.
This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.